Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. I hope you're having a wonderful and safe 2018 holiday season and all the best wishes for a fantastic and healthy 2019. Today we're going to air the Best of Multifamily Matters in Replay Episode 25. It's a very funny episode featuring Monica Simmons and Kathy Gibbs from The Vendor Guide, as well as Ken Bonehan, the president and CEO of the Liberty Group. So listen and enjoy episode 25, where we discuss the book, I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. So, you own, manage, or work at a multifamily property. You probably have seen some things happen that have created funny, unbelievable, and maybe even sad stories. With this in mind, today we are going to discuss the new book that has a great collection of these types of stories entitled, I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It. Joining me in the studio is Monica Simmons, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for The Vendor Guide, Kathy Gibbs, The Vendor Guide Girl, and Ken Bohan, President and CEO of The Liberty Group. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
So, Monica, you were the person that is behind this book. I've got to say that you sent me a book several weeks ago, and I've read through it, and it's a collection of great, great stories, a lot of which similar stories I've heard from going to properties and talking to the on-site staff as well as executives in the industry, all have similar types of experiences in the industry. And I must say that the panel today is all from the industry, from the standpoint of has been on-site in the past. So you certainly can identify with those. But what gave you the idea to do the book, and how did it come about?
It's funny, if you have been in the property management industry for 15 minutes, I think you have a story to tell, because you're dealing with people, and people are very interesting. I was on site, have a lot of the stories of my own in the I Have a Complex book, but also have a lot of friends in the industry, and my position with the Vendor Guide allows me to visit property managers throughout Texas and just started compiling their stories. Truly, this is the book that everybody in property management says they're going to write. Finally, someone has done it. So these are not just my stories. They're everyone's stories.
Right. And one of the things that I thought was exciting about the book is the fact that it benefits the Red Cross.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about how that all worked about, and the fact that you've got some sponsors.
Right. One of the coolest things about the I Have a Complex book is the hard cost of underwriting the publication was taken care of by advertisers in the Vendor Guide. Every chapter, you'll see a featured sponsor for, and so the hard costs were covered. Therefore, it allowed us to give back to the industry. We chose for this particular volume one to benefit the American Red Cross. So that was a real great tie-in for us, knowing their contributions after a calamity or storm at an apartment community. They're just great folks. So 100% of the proceeds for I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It, volume one, go to the American Red Cross.
And you've actually had the opportunity to present a couple of giant checks.
Yes.
To the Red Cross, which the photographs of those will be on the Multifamily Matters website at www.multifamilyradio.com if you'd
right.
like to see that. And we are going to be joined by someone from the Red Cross in the final segment to talk a little bit about their experience with this.
Great.
So, obviously, you have a lot of contributors to this book as far as the stories go. How did you get the word out, and what type of response did you have from people in the industry about sharing these stories?
Well, it's funny, because not just on the management side, but also on the vendor side, there was a lot of interest there. So many of our friends on the vendor side come from working on site, and so they had stories. They also had stories about just serving the management industry. Busted by bed bugs in the pest control section was given to us by our good friends at Green Forest Pest Control. So there's a lot of really funny stories like that. That's actually how I had a conversation with Ken when Kathy and I were working the San Antonio apartment trade show last year. Ran into Ken and told him about the book I was working on. He shared with me that he had been on site and had great stories and proceeded to give me several right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to talk in a little bit about one of the ones that just still cracks me up from his own personal experience.
And Ken, you are in the very well known in the apartment industry in Houston. Obviously, Liberty Group works with many, many companies and communities in this area and also around the country. And you have been awarded Hall of Famer status. Is that right, or is it different for a vendor?
It's a little bit different for a vendor, but it's the same, kind of the equivalent
right.
thereof.
Yes. What one of the few, if not the only, vendor that's had that. So, but you got your start on site in the industry.
I did. Started out on site and progressed into a regional role, and then from there evolved into the vendor side of the business.
Yeah, and so tell us the story that Monica was indicating you had.
Well, albeit some many years ago, I was managing a property here in Houston, and this particular property had a sports bar close by, and we had a little bit of a parking problem. The patrons of the sports bar would park in our reserve parking, which was a real issue. So this particular evening, there were six or seven cars already in our parking, and I had already called for the tow trucks to come and pull all of these cars out. There was clear signage, and as I said, it was a real problem for us. So anyway, the tow trucks were on their way, and at about that moment, a big black Lincoln pulled in, and a gentleman got out of the car right in front of the sign, and I spoke to him, and I said, you know, I wouldn't park here. They really do a strict job of enforcing, and the manager of this place is he's a tough cookie, and you really don't want to park there, would be my advice. And he said, it's not a problem. They won't bother my car. And I said, well, I'm really telling you, I think, take heed my advice. You don't want to park there. That guy is, well, he's just not a nice guy. And so he ignored my warning, and he went on into the sports bar. A few minutes later, the first of the tow trucks came. And, of course, I pointed to the big black Lincoln in his car and said, pull that one first.
He wasn't a nice guy, was he?
So I didn't think much more about it and went in. And the next morning I was in my office, and there was a commotion in the outer office. A man was out there, and he was, I want to see the manager. I've got an issue. And so I heard the commotion, and I walked around the corner. And there was my friend, the owner of the big black Lincoln. And he took one look at me. Uttered a couple of expletives that I won't share with you today, and turned on his heel and walked out the door.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, I read that story. I didn't know it was something that you were involved in. That was very cute.
I think in property management, parking lots, parking gates, there's probably a book you could write just on that itself.
Right.
I mean, it just is. It's got so many opportunities for people to just lose their cool. Yep.
Well, you know, the there are a lot of funny stories in the book, but there's also some sad stories, and I think probably you had mentioned you got more than sad stories than you cared to share in the book.
A lot.
I wrote in the foreword that I wanted to be careful not to include too many of the really horrific stories that I got, including my own, just because we all know that, you know, there's the meth labs and the murders and the suicides and just overall, you know, bad, negative stuff that can happen. It's a day in a day's work. I did include two in there. One is actually a contribution from Kathy Gibbs from when she was on site. It's in the bizarre and unexplained category or chapter, and I'll have her share that with you when you're ready.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, of course, when I started in property management, I was a cute little leasing agent, bopping around, taking care of the property. And one of my very first leases when I started, I helped this young girl. She was very sweet. She had just moved into the area, and she and I just really hit it off, and she was excited. She was starting a new job, and I helped her get the perfect apartment on our property. But she was so busy with her new job, I didn't get to see her as often as I would have loved to see, have seen her. But, you know, we said hi and talked occasionally. And then at one point she became delinquent on her rent. And so, of course, we're calling, no answers. I personally went, knocked on her door, no answer. So we gave her the notice. And so finally, I went with the property manager. We went into the property because she didn't call us back. Their emergency numbers didn't call us back. We walked into her property, into her apartment. Everything was just left in perfect condition, as if she had just left for work that morning. Everything's nice and neat. Her coffee cup was still sitting there with her favorite little pink lipstick around the rim. This girl loved pink. And as we walked on through the apartment, right next to her bed, her little pink fluffy slippers were still right beside her bed. But yet, this girl has just totally disappeared. We couldn't find her anywhere. And in fact, the months went on and on. We finally got her parents to return our messages. They had been out of town and they came, they responded, and they didn't know where she was. And a few weeks later, they just had to move everything out of the apartment. Mm. And we never found her. We called the police, the newspapers. This girl was never found. Mm. Now, had this happened in an area where we had more social media and stuff like we do nowadays, maybe, but back yeah. then, this sweet little girl just disappeared, and it was very
tragic,
yeah. very eerie.
And I think we were talking before the show, didn't you have some connection to the person from the Amber Alert?
Yes, I worked on the property
yeah.
where everything occurred with Amber Hagerman.
Okay.
And again, that was exactly where I used to go walk my little dog, exactly where they found her. And so that gives you chills as well.
Yeah. Well, before we take a break, Monica, one thing we haven't covered, and I want to cover it throughout the show, is if somebody would like to get a copy of the book, how do they do that, and what do they need to do?
Absolutely. We have a Facebook page. I have a complex, but I'm managing it. Hard to find, right? they can order books online and also T-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, have the sponsors for the chapters and also the I Have a Complex But I'm Managing It logo on the front.
So, yeah.
And yeah, please do so.
And you said that this is actually happening. I'm suggesting this to our listeners, you know, managers buy this book for your staff. Mm-hmm. Vendors buy this book to give out as
right.
gifts.
And vendors get it. If you don't have an insight into what managers have to deal with, man, this
you'll
will open your eyes.
Yeah, anybody, sure. It would open anybody's eyes, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Yep.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to be back with more of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the new book that has a great collection of stories entitled, I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Monica Simmons, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for The Vendor Guide, Kathy Gibbs, The Vendor Guide Girl, and Ken Bohan, President and CEO of The Liberty Group. Before we get back in the conversation, I'll remind our listeners that if you would like to provide guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, you can go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. Let's talk about some of your favorite stories, Monica, that are in the book. I'm sure both Kathy and Ken have others they could share, too, that they enjoyed. But what are some of the favorite ones?
I have so many. I'll share one of my own that came from when I worked on site. It was kind of funny. The leasing office had a kind of a three-story three-tiered office, and we had a workout room down below that you could see into the workout room. So when you had prospects come in, you could say, this is our beautiful workout room, without having to go down there. And the manager's office was above. Worked with Deborah Newman there. Kath and I have worked with Deborah for 25 years mm-hmm. now at the Vendor Guide, and just kind of stayed together. Mm-hmm. But I'm walking by, and darn if there's not a naked man, like, looking at himself and dancing around. I didn't have prospects in the office at the time. It was just me, and Deb was upstairs. And so I shouted up to her, there's a naked guy in the weight room. There's, you know? And so she came tearing down the stairs, and I go over to call 911, and he runs out of the weight room. And she takes off after him and says, you know, and so she chases him in hot pursuit, and he runs off in the property we worked at. Actually, there were several communities on that same street, and she becomes like a little dot on the horizon, still after him in her heels and everything. She never did catch the guy. He kind of disappeared, and she came back, and we thought, well, what would you have done if you actually caught him? So that's kind of funny. We had a really close-knit group when we worked, and we just had a lot of fun. So one of a really popular chapter, one that I really like, is It Happened in the Leasing Office. And from this chapter, I think Kathy actually submitted a story, The Lying Leasing Agent. And it kind of addresses how you work as a team when you work on site, and there's a level of trust that you have between your coworkers.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that backfires. Mm-hmm. I'll let Kath tell that story, The Lying Leasing Agent.
So when you work on site, as Monica said, you definitely work as a team, the maintenance, the office, everyone. But when you're the little leasing agent, you definitely get commissions for all of the leases, for all the families that you help find a home. And we always take turns, so it's fair. So not one leasing agent's getting all the money, all the leases. And so I had this one girl that started actually at the same time that I did. I thought we were going to become really good friends. But this girl turned out to not be as nice as a person as I thought mm-hmm. that she was when we first met. So this girl, she just started taking advantage, taking more than an hour lunch, taking 2 hour lunches. I never said anything. I'm the team player. I just do my job and work extra hard to make sure everything's fabulous. And at one point, I had shown a couple a beautiful apartment. They really loved it. They were just going to check just a couple of things and come back and see me within the next couple of days and go ahead and lease the apartment and give me the paperwork that I had given them. And so a few days later, they came back in, and I was so excited to see them. I was like, all right, they're getting in to the property. I actually helped them. They're going to be happy here. And the woman, she was so sweet. She said, no, my husband and I turned in the paperwork last Friday. Didn't your friend that you work with tell you? I asked her to tell you that we dropped our paperwork off, and we're so excited that you helped us. And that girl never told me that they came back. I'm trying to be very nice here.
Right, I understand.
Years later, I'm trying to be very nice about this. She never told me they came back. She never told me they turned in the paperwork. And she put her name on that lease.
She got
the commission.
Right.
So it was already done. So there was nothing I could do about it. But karma does come into play.
Right.
Let me tell you. So this girl continued being late, taking hours for lunch. And one day, the owner of our property, she showed up, wanted to have an impromptu meeting, which is cool for me because, of course, I'm taking care of business there. Mm-hmm. But this other girl, she's still at lunch. And she walks in, and the owner's saying, where were you? A 3 hour lunch? That is totally against company policy. So, needless to say, she was fired from the company, mm-hmm. and I got to continue on and get all the leases.
Well, you know, so many stories in the book. How long did it take you to put it together, and how did you ask people to send stories to you? How did you get all that done?
Like I said, some of them are from my own experiences, from my friends, from clients, and it's kind of been a lifetime in the industry, you know, mm-hmm. in the making. Some of these, the last 3 years, I got really serious about it, and really, when I would go into communities, I'd sit down with a pen and pad, and they would, you know, give me the stories. I would flesh them out. I worked really closely with an editor friend of mine, Janet Howe, who's amazing. Thank you, Janet. But we have to remember, and I put this in the foreword, that some of these stories actually occurred in the 70s, 80s,
right,
back before a lot of, you know, the compliances that are in place now, you know, ADA, fair housing, just, you know, countless zoning and, you know.
The world has changed.
The world has definitely changed. Not to mention the internet, you know. Right. I mean, we didn't have computers. We used ledger cards to collect rent. And Ken, you guys were talking earlier about something that happened to you at an all-adult community?
Well, we had adult and family properties, but there was one particular all-adult property that was down the street. And for their promotional effort, they put a go-go dancer in every balcony on one of the major streets.
Yeah, times have definitely changed. I know I lived on a community when I first moved to Dallas, and they would have a happy hour with open bar, you know, for the residents. And, liability, big time. So, yeah, that's been interesting, and that's part of the reason we changed the names of the people in the stories. No management company names are mentioned, and we just put the area that the story was contributed from as, you know, as far as who wrote the story.
There really does need to be a big shout-out to you, though. You've done an amazing job. You were asked, and certainly we all have our stories, but it still took you to put it together and to collect them and to edit them, and I think you ought to talk a little bit and give some praise. I gather was it your husband and son that did the artwork?
Yes, I have two sons, Jacob and Nicholas, and my husband, James. They're all artists. They did all of the illustrations in the book. We had a lot of fun with that. And as I was naming characters, there's actually a story about a dumpster diver and changed his name to Nick, which my son Nick didn't really appreciate very much. But I thought that was really fun. Favorite stories. I just have so many of them. And it's funny because every time I thought I would get the craziest story ever, I'd get another one that just, one of the funniest things is I got just a photo emailed to me one day, and it was a dude floating around in a blow up air mattress, a bed, basically, using the bed as a flotation device. And so.
And this was not a very attractive picture,
no,
let me
it wasn't.
Tell you.
And so I'm like, I emailed the property manager back. I said, okay, give me the story that goes with this photo. And turns out the same guy that's on his bed earlier had been using the lifesaver ring in the pool. And she said, you know, that's not allowed, only authorized, you know, paraphernalia is allowed in the pool, whatever. And he basically, you know, sassed back to her, as, you know, all good residents will, and showed up a couple of hours later with his bed and plopped it in the pool. So she took a picture and sent it to me. Right. And I think Laura Stringfellow, our editor, or one of our other editors with the Vendor Guide, said she named the story Whatever Floats Your Bed. So, you know, it's just kind of fun out by the pool, a lot of fun pool stories. I love one of the, in bits and pieces, I think there's a story about an irate wife catches her husband cheating on him, and so she goes on a drunken binge, and in the night throws all the pool furniture into the pool, every bit of it, and the manager arrives for work the next morning, and she sees this woman frantically having a change of heart and trying to retrieve all of this heavy metal furniture out of the swimming pool before she gets in trouble, and fun stuff.
Real life stories in the apartment industry, sure.
So, and also in it happened in the leasing office chapter. There's a fun story, a really heartwarming story about a, you know, leasing agent that jumps in the pool to rescue a drowning child. And I had several of those stories. Right. Probably one of the more shocking things to me as I was collecting stories is I had so many vampire stories. That was weird. vampire stories, people who thought they were vampires, people sleeping in coffins, people putting spells on people. Weirdness. And then the horse stories. I had three horses in apartment stories. So if you ever
read
the book.
What kind of pet deposit do you have to have for a horse, Monica?
It exceeds the weight limit,
I think. Definitely does. And Kathy was giving me a hard time earlier because she's a dog person. I have so many cat stories.
So many cat stories.
Yes, and she's not a big cat lover, but
cats.
We had a lot of cat stories. One lady was using the bathtub as a cat box, and they ended up taking 22 cats out of the apartment. So there's the whole story. I think actually the first chapter of the book is about four legs, fins, and fur. And it talks about just the different, you know, pets that people bring in, the snakes and the iguanas and the
piranhas.
Piranhas, oh. Yes. There's actually an alligator story in there, too. So, I mean, you name it, if they'll bring it in, a guy that wants to, I think it's a raccoon. He brings in a raccoon and wants to train it as a pet and then tries to sue the management company when he gets bitten because for rabies, you know.
Right.
So it's their fault. So.
Well, we've got a couple more segments to go. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back after a few messages. But you are listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
We're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing the new book that has a great collection of stories about the multifamily industry entitled, I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It. I'm Paul Marks, and today we're talking with Monica Simmons, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for The Vendor Guide, Kathy Gibbs, The Vendor Guide Girl, and Ken Bohan, President and CEO of The Liberty Group. Before we get into the conversation, I do want to take a moment to thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. There are so many stories that you have in the book, and I don't want to give a lot away, but you said there's so many, you've got a volume two potentially coming out at some point in the future. And Ken, you mentioned that you had a story that you wanted to share that is not in volume one, but is going to possibly make its way into volume two.
Hope so, anyway. They're mm-hmm. kind of fun. Some years ago, obviously, because it's been a long time since I was out on site, I was in my office, and a resident came in, and I was overhearing that he was giving his notice to vacate. This was a situation we were in a lease-up. And every lease mattered, and so losing one was not a good situation. So I walked around the corner, and I said, would you step into my office? I'd like to visit with you. And had him have a seat and asked him, well, what's the purpose? Why are you leaving us? And he said, you. And I said, me? I said, well, what have I done? And he said, well, ever since you got here, he said, this place is too damn clean. He said, there's not a cigarette butt, there's not a beer can, there's not a piece of trash. And he said, no one can live like this. He said, so I'm leaving. After he moved out, we kind of understood why. He was one of those kind of residents. He had a first floor apartment, and he'd been changing the oil on his motorcycle in the middle of the living room.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Okay, I love that story.
Wow. And you've got some stories that you,
I do.
You want to talk about.
Just, we kind of touched on volume two, and I see that definitely coming to fruition in a couple of years. Really excited to share that volume two for I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It will benefit TAA education and scholarships.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, very close to all of our hearts.
Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm.
to give back really directly to our industry, and certainly really going to be excited about that. Ken talked about this fellow coming into the leasing office, and I know firsthand, when I worked on site, our property was only 250 units. Now, Kath worked on one that was 650.
660.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And Ken, I'm sure your portfolio was more sizable than what I worked on, but I personally felt like I knew most of our residents. I mean, they'd have to come check their mail, and it's, you do establish a bond with these folks, and you do
a friendship.
You take ownership. There's a lot of really great stories about residents, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and even the ugly ones, you know, touch your heart. And one of my favorite stories was submitted Ramona and the Cowskin Rug, and it's a story about a young girl that gets into a relationship that goes really, really badly. The roommate ends up moving out. They both end up moving out, but left in the apartment was this really beautiful cowhide rug that Ramona had given to her girlfriend that beat her up really badly. Mm. And anyway, the whole thing ended up badly, and Ramona leaves it, and the other girl never comes back. Well, they take it to the leasing office and put it in the leasing office, and the thing is massive. And they ended up taking it and putting it in the maintenance shed. And for months it sits there, and the manager has such a heart for this young woman that the maintenance guy really wants the rug. And he's like, she's never coming back for it. She owes us this rent. Well, Ramona ends up paying all the back rent. Mm. And she calls the manager one day and she says, I'd like to come over and say goodbye to you. And she said, by the way, do you still have that cowhide rug? And the manager says, yeah, why don't you come and get it? And so Ramona comes back, and the maintenance guy helps schlop that thing out to the back of Ramona's car. And when they're walking out back to the office, he said, you know, I really wanted that damn rug, you know? And she's like, you know what? It was a symbol of their love. And,
right.
And he says, what? She's like, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it truly just doesn't make any sense, you know, to us. But Quirky Miss Bean, another one of my favorites, you know, grabbed that box of wine out of the office fridge and come eat some spaghetti. And she was just, she just was really, you know, quirky, dirty grandma, the woman, that the old sweet lady that gets caught in her turtleneck, and the manager goes over to help her out of her turtleneck. And the woman's kitchen looks like the worst, terrible, awful, messy, gross place, and they've been eating this food that's been cooked in this woman's kitchen, you know, and the manager comes back to the office and says, okay, no more food from residents.
New rule.
So I love the title of that, Dirty Grandma, and the woman that submitted that to me actually said, you can write this story, but you got to call it Dirty Grandma. And I'm like, okay, well, that's intriguing at the very least. So, you know, it's stories like that. You know, you have your favorites. The Exhibitionist being another one. There's a whole chapter on sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
And in the apartment industry.
In the apartment business, can you imagine? But The Exhibitionist, there's a fun story about a woman who basically likes to parade around naked in front of her big, you know, picture window. And one of the wives of one of the residents that's enjoying this free floor show decides she's not real keen on it. So, yeah, they have a nice big confrontation and you know, the wife wants to go over with the manager and, you know, voice her complaints. And the woman's like, what's wrong? It's a free country, you know.
Right.
It's like, well, it's a free country, but, you know, not for this kind of.
Not interested in having my husband get a free peek.
No kidding.
So, and yeah, and then it just goes on, you know, the motorhome, you know.
I like that story.
I love that story because, you know, the guy moves his crazy girlfriend in and she basically
it's
so crazy. She kicks him out. And so there's a green belt at the back of the property. And, you know, when you're in management, you walk the property. You're always walking the property. And for some reason, this motorhome, it's dirty, tacky, huge motorhome, gets parked at the back of the community. And one of the residents comes in the office and asks the manager, how long is that eyesore going to be back there? And she's like, she realizes that she hasn't actually been to the back of the community for a while. And so she goes back there, and sure enough, there's this nasty RV parked back there
with an extension cord.
Yeah. And she follows the cord. She's on the golf course
part.
And so she says she slops back over and follows the cord, and it's to this unit. And this, she pounds on the door, and this woman she's never seen before answers the door. And anyway, it goes on from there.
Yeah.
So, and that's Crazy Sally. We get to meet Crazy Sally in that story. And so that's kind of a funny thing.
I guess in the management industry, everybody has nicknames. All the residents have nicknames.
Yes, yes.
And they're all very nice names.
Yeah. We had two or three management folks that would send me so many contributions, and you guys know who you are if you're listening to this, but one in particular, you would name your residents, you know, you'd have the cricket guy or Mr. Handsome Man or Mr. Crybaby or Mrs. Mr. and Mrs., you know, throw your cigarette butts in the parking lot kind of thing. So, yeah, you do, you're really a family. And it's, you know, as I was working on these stories, it really hits home that, you know, here are families living separated by these firewalls, you know, and some of these people are hurting and some of them are happy and some of them are getting divorced. And it's, you're dealing with life. I probably, short of being in the medical industry, I don't know of any other industry that you really, you know, experience the closeness that, you know, the family stuff. They right. lose their pets and you cry with them.
Yeah,
you
we're
know?
Part of all of it as yeah. a management team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And speaking of pets and such and dogs and cats, Judge the Dog, if you guys haven't read about Judge the Dog, I love that story.
I do too.
I love that little dog and the fact that, you know, in working on site, the dumpsters, everybody in their dog seems to, and their dog, dump their litters of kittens and their puppies and this kind of stuff. And so on site, you're always getting these random animals that you're trying to pawn off on your family and your friends and your other, it's like, maybe we can wink, wink, wave that, you know, pet deposit. If you'll take this, you know, kitten that we found at the back of the, you know, it's got one eye is matted shut and it's missing a tail or, you know, whatever.
Cute.
But it's so cute, you know, we'll wave the pet deposit. So did you ever have any of that, Ken? Crazy pet animals?
Well, we used to, one of the properties that I was on, we would take any size dog.
Oh.
But the rule was that they had to come and interview with me.
Ooh.
By myself.
So we've heard you were a real, real hard nose. Yeah.
So they'd bring in the pet and leave him with me. And if he or she could behave themselves and were proper, many of these were show dogs, interestingly enough. And so we made a kind of a marketing effort to reach out to the community and let those people who really had those special pets come and live with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. They're all special.
You collected these stories really from Texas properties.
Yes. Yeah.
These are Texas stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has a story. You know, mm-hmm. anybody in this industry has got a story. Like you said, in the first 15 minutes of working in the industry, you probably can collect a story. Quickly, tell the story of the one, I don't know, remember the name of it, but it was about the elderly man and the dog barked.
The book starts out with that. It's the very first story because I love it. I think mm-hmm. it's the boy, the banjo, and the basset hound. Yeah, and a boy, a banjo, and a basset hound. And just real quick, because I know we're running out of time here, elderly, really highly accomplished man and living in a one-bedroom apartment with this basset hound.
Older man.
That barely met the pet deposit or pet weight and ends up having a heart attack. And he's teaching the young boy how to play the banjo. And the boy saves his life.
Mm-hmm.
The dog and the boy save his life. Yeah. So, but it's a real sweet kickoff to the book.
Good. Yeah. Well, we're gonna be back after these messages with the final segment of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
With our final segment of Multifamily Matters, we're discussing the new book that has a great collection of stories entitled, I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It. And I would recommend anybody in the multifamily and apartment industry get a copy of this book. We're going to tell you how to do that a little bit later in the segment. I'm Paul Marks, and my guests in the studio are Monica Simmons, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for the Vendor Guide, Kathy Gibbs, the Vendor Guide Girl, and Ken Bohan, President and CEO of the Liberty Group. And joining us for this segment is Pedro Ramirez with the American Red Cross. Pedro, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. As we've talked about in this in the previous segments, the proceeds from this book are benefiting the Red Cross. And I know that, Monica, you've had a couple of instances where you've been able to make contributions from the proceeds. And, yep. It's earmarked again for?
Hurricane Harvey. People who need relief from that in the apartment industry, specifically, you know, for the Texas coast,
right.
Houston area.
Okay. And Pedro, I know that you work with the Red Cross at the DAT, D-A-T, the Disaster Action Team. Tell us a little bit about that and how it interacts with the multifamily industry.
Yes, I'm a volunteer, and it's great. Like, there's... Like, for example, if there's a local apartment or a complex fire, we will go out there and help the families directly. So, for example, if, say, the fire department is there fighting the fire and the family is literally standing in the parking lot looking at their unit, we will get there and focus on the family and pull them to the side, possibly into the office, and talk with them on recovery process and moving forward, kind of get to change their mindset from all is lost to there's still hope.
Yeah.
And that's probably what I like about it the most on the disaster action team.
Yeah, that's a very valuable service to be able to provide, especially at that time. You have a story, I think, of something that happened personally to you and your family with a fire, don't you?
Yes, actually, last week I got a text from my mom, and then saying that my aunt's apartment complex was on fire. And I called her back immediately, and I followed up, and she said that she was told through conversations right there with all the chaos. My mom was actually there, and that Red Cross was on the way. That was I going to come? And I was like, "Well, now I am going to come because I hadn't gotten to the phone call yet because we get dispatched out to the fires." And when I get there, it turns out that my aunt's apartment was above the unit that burned, so she lost everything.
Oh, wow.
In her unit, and I actually had to create a case for her and talk with her. So it was. It was very emotional, but
sure.
At the end of it, it's a recovery process that we're doing together. So I feel good in regards to helping her directly.
Yeah. Well, it's great that you could be there personally for your own family, but I'm sure it's kind of an unusual situation to be in.
Yeah, it caught me off guard. And my uncle just had open heart surgery in February. Okay. So it was all kinds of stress around the corner, I think we're good. We're good now. They're living with me,
yeah.
And so I'm experiencing the recovery process with them, but I'm able to give them resources that they need.
Well, that's going to make you a better volunteer in the long run, isn't it?
That's over and above.
Yeah. I guess most volunteers don't have that personal experience that you're going to have. That's great. Let's jump back into the book, guys, a little bit. I do want to give everybody some time to talk a little bit about what they're doing and their companies and so forth. But a couple of other stories in the book that you think stood out as favorites for you.
Oh, yeah. I loved Rest in Peace, Mr. Sunshine. This is actually a story that happened to my dad when he was working at site on maintenance. They had walked a vacant apartment, and as you do with a walkthrough, looked in the freezer, you know, as part of the walkthrough, and there's a large package in the freezer, and turns out it's the remains of the previous resident's dog, and she's planning on having the dog cream or taxidermied, you know, stuffed, so she can have them forever. And in her haste to get everything cleaned and moved out, the rest of the apartment is spick and span. You would have been happy, Ken, because and so they relocate, or they find the former resident and reunite her with her beloved
baby.
Dog.
Yeah.
But it was quite startling. My dad also had a situation where at his property, there was a guy operating a gynecologist's office in his apartment unit, not even kidding. And the way they found out about it is he gave his office address as the address to the apartment community. And instead of, apartment number 508 or whatever it was suite number 104. And women were actually coming. A woman came to the office because she couldn't find where the doctor's office was. And I'm like, are people that
so sanitary?
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up.
Right.
And so they busted him. But there's a whole chapter on taking care of business, and there's some really wild and crazy stuff in there. And I always come back to the pets and the dogs and the how many cats can you really put in an apartment and think you're going to get away with it? We talked earlier about the lady that had 22 cats, and she had sent maintenance into her 2-bedroom apartment and said, don't go, just go in there. She was very specific. She did not want them going to the other side of the unit. Mm-hmm. And the reason was they're hosting all these cats in that master suite with the bathtub and everything. And the manager and the maintenance guy go in there, and it's just horrific, the smell, and the cats are, they're stepping on cats, and cats are everywhere. She's using the tub as a giant cat box. It looks like it's never,
never
been, cleaned. And so when the manager contacts the resident, and basically they end up evicting her, she's all indignant. Because she told them not to go into that bedroom.
Right.
And by the way, I'm going to sue you for not fixing my toilet. So funny how things, perception is everything. But video cameras, wow, these days people, maintenance guys getting caught eating sandwiches on the sofa, when they're supposed to come in, helping themselves to things on the refrigerator, minicam catching it all. There's a really, interesting story about a young girl that she's actually used in a drug deal, and which was quite, and they used surveillance camera on that one too. She's like helping make the exchange from money to drugs. So guy caught peeing in the elevator, and then it's clear
that
as day
right.
that it's the guy, and he comes into the office. He's like, well, that's not me. But it's that guy.
Wearing the same clothes,
like,
what he said.
Yeah, it's like, what dog? We don't have a dog, but it's on your balcony, It's like, I'm pretty sure that's your apartment. So it's just, it's just kind of funny and kind of crazy. But again, you got to read the horse stories on here that probably we end the book, or I end the book with a really sweet letter that I received one afternoon from a woman who's always worked in AB class communities, and she gets transferred to an apartment, and the area is not nice. It's probably a C-, and the challenge is there. Her family is worried for her life. That's how bad the drug and the gang traffic is there. And I chose to end the book with that letter just because it really speaks to the people in this industry and why they continue doing what they do. It's such a labor of love, and sometimes you risk your life, and sometimes, you're in situations that just test your very, whatever. And you just keep on going the next day and try to make these apartment homes, the best they can be for your residents.
Right.
Yeah.
Ken, you got to have another story or two that you can share with us.
He's got to tell the chicken in every pot story.
Oh, well.
Come on, Ken.
I'm going to tell one that's a little more recent. I happen to own a little bit of rental property. And so one of my residents called and let me know. They said, I just wanted to let you know that you have, or we have, a ghost. And I just wanted to let you know that, but it's a good ghost, so you don't have to worry. The ghost was at my office, and he rode home with me And so now he's residing here at your apartment. But I just thought I'd let you know that we have a ghost. But he's a good one.
Yeah, we should charge him extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your rent just went up $50.
Need to put the ghost on the lease.
We do have some ghost stories in this one and more coming in Volume 2 that I've already gotten that'll just blow your mind. And these folks swear these stories are true. But yeah, there's a story in here about somebody they ended up – and we're pretty sure the guy just wanted out of his lease, but he is convinced his apartment is haunted. And he supposedly does research that the community, which is a fairly new community, has been built on an ancient Indian burial ground, and these spirits are unhappy. But he not only complains about it to the management, he does so very vocally while there are prospective residents in the office. And, you know, he wants them to bring an exorcist in and you know, clear this problem. And it just goes on and on. And so they, like, decide to, okay, you don't have to live here anymore. So yeah, he gets what he wants, they get what they want, and bye-bye. So never had any problems in that particular apartment after that, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you said people swear that these stories are true. I think you couldn't make this stuff up. I mean, you would have to be such a creative person to make up this stuff. I believe everything that's in there is true. Tell everybody a little bit about the vendor guide, and also if they want to contribute stories for future volumes, how can they do that?
Wonderful. The vendor guide is actually a directory of products and services specific to the multifamily and commercial management industry. It was started in Dallas in 1984 by a property manager there. Our president is Deborah Newman. She's a former property supervisor and a really great gal.
Yes, she is.
Kath and I have been there for 25 years.
25 mm-hmm. years.
We have directories in Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and Dallas, Fort Worth. And we also work as a full marketing firm for our clients with everything from digital media to anything you can put your logo on, so brand advancement, swag, as they call it in the industry, anything you put your logo on. You have anything else to say on that, Kath?
If anyone is wanting business in the apartment industry in the Houston or Austin, San Antonio, Dallas-Fort Worth area, call your vendor guide girl, Kathy Gibbs.
Okay. How do they reach you?
My cell phone number is 214-549-0058. Okay. I love this. Call me. I'll help you.
And as far as getting copies of the I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It, again, there's a Facebook page by the same title, I Have a Complex, But I'm Managing It. There's some really fun videos on the Facebook page as well that we're sharing. We have a YouTube channel. And help us out. Help us raise more money for the Red Cross. It's a very, very worthwhile organization.
Great. Ken, tell us a little bit about Liberty and how you can be reached.
The Liberty Group is a national executive search and temporary staffing company. I founded the firm now 41 years ago.
Wow.
We have 22 offices located around the country, from Seattle to D.C., from Miami to Los Angeles. We have placed executives in 48 of the 50 states. And basically, we're always in the market for great candidates. So if you know somebody that you think is qualified, would you point them in our direction? They can reach us at our corporate offices. The phone number is 713-961-7666. And they can go online and see more about the Liberty Group at thelibertygroup.com.
Great. Well, I want to thank you guys for being here. And Pedro, thank you for joining in today.
Thanks, Pedro.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I also want to say that if anybody would like to get in touch with any of our guests, especially if you have stories that you want to share for the next volumes of the book, you can go to the Multifamily Matters website and you can hit the Contact Us tab and send me an email, and I'll make sure that Monica gets your information. So
thank you so much. Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We'll be back each and every Friday. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.